Thank the Lord for another Sunday morning that we can be together. I'd like to have just a little review of the message we had last Sunday because this one connects with it. The title of the message last Sunday was The Doctrine of Giving. We started out with the scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16, parts of 17, and it said, "The word of the Lord is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or completely furnished or equipped unto all good works." The word of the Lord is very profitable and valuable to us all in order to make heaven. It teaches us how to live a godly and a holy life, and oftentimes it is through examples, and we chose the example of Christ and of God as being one that taught us how to live a holy life by giving. The scripture says that, "I have given you an example that ye should follow or do as I have done to you." The other scripture was, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." He did it willingly and selflessly. And the scripture says in Romans, "He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" And our message last Sunday was how God gives to his people and to the whole world. He is a giving God, and it was through his example now that we follow in his footsteps, so to speak. So that was just a little overview of some of the scriptures that were given last Sunday. So this morning, we want to add a scripture that we didn't give last time to be a little transitional thought to connect with what we're going to have this morning. I was sitting there thinking how we come oftentimes to the services, and maybe we've had battles through the week and problems, and we come and we may feel empty and dry, and Lord, I need something to encourage me or lift me up. He is a lifter up of our heads, the scripture says. And then the Lord sends something that is more on the line of teaching, and we have to accept that and say, "Lord, I know that you have the comfort for me or the courage or whatever." And you can draw comfort and courage from just sitting in the assemblies with the people of God. I do. I've already received comfort and encouragement through the testimonies that were given this morning. And yet there is a place for instruction, and we want us to all draw our minds in now from maybe our own problems and consider the word of the Lord this morning. But this passage is in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to be looking at 11 through 18, and it says this: "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." This is a passage that is being addressed to the children of Israel. Verse 12, it says, "Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply." Well, most of us don't have herds and flocks, but we can bring this scripture and apply it to our lives in 2015. And it says, "When all of these things are multiplied, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied." Has anything been multiplied in your life? Can you look back and evaluate your life and see where you have been and where you are now? And can you say, "Yes, The Lord has blessed my life. I think every one of us could raise our hand and say, God's been good. He has given. See, that's the first doctrine of giving, is that God gives to his people. And so it says, then after all of these things of being increased and multiplied, verse 14, and then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, what he's done for you. Verse 15 says, who led thee. I'm just going to stop right there, because I want us all to look back in our life and say, yes, God has led me down through my life. I can trace it. I know what he's done for me and how he has brought me to this place. Can you say that this morning?
Yes,
we can say that this morning. God has given to his people a way to know where to go. He said he would lead us on a highway of holiness, that we would not err therein. And then the next verse starts out with, who fed thee? Have you been fed? Can you look back and say, well, yes, my pantry is full. That's not what he's talking about, is it? He has fed us spiritually. Are you stronger today spiritually than you were whatever time you want to compare it to? Has God led you and fed you? Yes, I believe he has. And then verse 17, and thou say, see, after all of these things, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. If you forget God, you'll be saying, I did it on my own. And then the next verse says, and this is the one we want to focus on today, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So I want us to link the following thoughts and messages and scriptures and inspiration with the fact that you did not get what you have to be where you are today in your own hand. You mustn't forget God and what he's done for you in your life, and that he is the one that has given you power. And we could say strength. We could say intellect. We could say understanding. We could say wisdom to get where you are today and what he's done for you and me. So that's what we want to use as a little scripture to transition into the thoughts that we have. Now, the doctrine of giving, it doesn't just end with Christ and God being a giver all the time. It comes down, there is a Bible doctrine for you and me to give. And this subject we don't hear preached very often. But I believe the Lord wants us, for this generation, the younger generation, to hear the teachings of what the Bible says. Oftentimes, maybe I should speak for myself and not you, but somebody I'm talking about in the past, hear a message on giving, and it can almost make you feel, or me, feel guilty, like I haven't given enough. And I don't want the message today to create in any of us a feeling of guilt or to be uncomfortable when we speak about giving. I would like for us all to just receive the Word of God, apply it in our life, go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me.
Yes,
that I can be obedient to your word. Because giving is a big part of the word of God. And I'm speaking of monetary giving or material giving. It's from beginning to the end. And it has to be a part of the Christian and their walk with the Lord. It has to be. We have a tendency to forget it to some degree, the importance of it. So I would like to ask you one question to begin with. Can any man outgive God?
No.
Can't do it. So God is still the supreme giver. But he's wanting you and me to learn how to give. The next question that I want to ask you is there a teaching, a Bible doctrine on tithing? Now, the message this morning possibly could include some thoughts that you all might have, but I'm going to give you what the Bible says. I think it is very unwise for us to discount the doctrine. I'm going to say it's a doctrine because it's an Old Testament doctrine. But I think we could learn from the law. We learn from the law in a lot of areas that we apply in our New Testament walk. The shadow is there. The type is there. And it's carried over into the New Testament. And for us to just throw out the doctrine of tithing, I think is unwise. Because God had so many places in his word that it included tithing. Now, what is tithing? We all know the word tithing means a tenth percent. One tenth or 10%. That's what tithing would mean, or giving of a portion of what you have received. I want you to keep in mind as we progress through this thought that God is the one that has given you the power to get wealth. That you didn't do it in yourself. But the scripture also says, "He that honoreth me, I will honor." So let's consider the word of God this morning in this word, tithing. I'm going to give you some scripture, may make some comments, but we're going to carry it over into the New Testament. Genesis, the 14th chapter, verse 20. This is speaking of Abraham. They had had a great battle. There was a high priest that came, and there was a great victory. The name of that priest was Melchizedek. And so, as a result of the great victory, this is what Abraham said. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes," or a tenth of all. This is Abraham. And that was to the high priest. So that's the first mention of the word tithing that I could find in the Bible. The next scripture is Genesis 28 and 20 through 22. And this happens to be another scene. This is Jacob. Jacob has also come to a place, and he named the place Bethel, where he fought a battle, where he had a vision. He was needing God real bad. Do you need God? Absolutely, we need God. Did you know that you can get God's attention by your reaction to his blessing?
Yes, that's right.
And so it says here in verse 20, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on." Don't we thank the Lord every day for that blessing? Or do we just get up in the morning and we fix our breakfast and we really don't think about the blessing of the Lord providing it? And we put on our clothes and we go in our closet and we see all of these clothes that we've got at garage sales. Or, you know, we are such a blessed people. We can have an abundance at a very low price. We really can. But anyway, he says this. If you will do this for me, close on my back. Verse 21, so that I come again, I can come back to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Now look at verse 22. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob is also recognizing the blessings of God, and that he in return owes something to God. We owe God. Yeah. You can't buy your salvation. Money cannot buy salvation. But in our walk with the Lord, to honor the Lord, we do owe something. And Jacob recognized that. Let's turn now to Leviticus, the 27th chapter, and just a minute, I'm in the wrong book. The 27th chapter, verse 30. Now, this same scripture or thought, and that I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm going to tell you where all of the other scriptures are, where this passage is repeated or nearly repeated. It's in Numbers 18 and 21. In Deuteronomy 12:16, Deuteronomy 14:28, and Deuteronomy 26 and 12, plus Leviticus 27 and 30. So that's all of the scriptures. We're not going to read them all for the sake of time. But it says in this passage, and all of the tithe of the Lord, whether seed or fruit, and I'm condensing this a little bit. Tithe of the land, whether seed or fruit, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, this is a passage that we almost go ahead and carry it over into the New Testament. Because all that you and I have, if we are sanctified holy, if we have come before the Lord and sought and asked for, because that was one of the things that the Lord would give in the last message. That's how we ended the message, was if you ask, it's his will to give the Holy Spirit to fill your life, to guide your life, to teach you, to enlighten you. So that's what he wants to give. So when I come before the Lord and I say, Lord, I give you myself. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, to be filled with holiness. And I give you my, and we may say it out, I give you my husband or my wife or my children or my home. I give you my land. I give you my job. I give you, and you start consecrating all of the things to give to the Lord. And you say, it's yours now. Don't we say that? This is all, it's not mine. I take my hands off. Maybe we don't always take our hands off. But the principle is, everything belongs to God, and we owe it. Yes. Because this passage says, the tithe of everything that I get an increase, it is holy unto the Lord. It is his. The next scripture is Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the 31st chapter, verse 5:31 and 5. Says, as soon as the commandment, let's start at the verse. Let's do 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, and the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all of the increase of the field, the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. Now, this was the children of Israel. They recognized this was a commandment of the Lord. This is part of the law of God that they give a tenth of all of their increase. Now let's go to Nehemiah, the 10th chapter. I'm going to try my best, by the help of the Lord, to tie these scriptures in, because I'm not really giving you everyone on tithing of the Old Testament. But in the 10th chapter of Nehemiah, Nehemiah has come back to rebuild the temple. It has been destroyed. They have been in captivity, and God is bringing them back. That's the setting here. And start at verse 35. Well, it says in the last part of 34, as it is written in the law, colon, verse 35, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of our fruit of all trees, year by year unto the house of the Lord, verse 36, speaks of the firstborn even, the first of the herds and the flocks. You bring it to the house of God, unto the priest that minister in the house of our God. Now skip down to 38. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites, when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, unto the treasure house. Now, are you beginning to understand the need for monetary support for the house of God? You see, he was rebuilding the temple. They were coming back. Israel was coming back to be able to worship the Lord. There had to be a support in order to rebuild the temple. There had to be money given or supplies given. Now, if you will go with me now to the 13th chapter of Nehemiah, I'm going to look at something I found very serious. And we're going to start at verse 10. Remember now, he's rebuilding. And it says, and I perceive, this is Nehemiah, that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. What do you think that means? That means that those that were supposed to be working in the congregation, if you will, or in the services, literally were not being supported financially, and they had to go back to their fields to work. That's what that means. And so verse 11 says, then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. He brought it all back together. He caused it all to be put back in place and order. And then it said, because now he's telling the Judah or the children of Israel, you failed here. You need to allow the workers of God to be in their place, and you're supporting them. Now, I'm going to say here, I think this is one reason that this is seldom preached, because it sounds like the preacher is trying to ask for a handout. Absolutely, that is not what we have in mind this morning at all. I'm going to testify to you. When I started in the ministry, my husband had a job, and I would not take an offering. I remember the very first offering I ever was given from a congregation out of state. I turned around and gave it back to them. I said, my husband has a job. Later, another minister reproved me for that and said, it's not the way we do it. You take it. It's up to you and God what you do with that. The scripture says that the laborer is worthy of their hire or money. When I'm preaching this morning, I am not dissatisfied with our congregation in any way. I want you to know that. I appreciate anything down through our whole ministry. For one thing, we are not doing it for money, ever. Money is not even a part of our thought process when it comes to the work of the Lord. And I think I can speak for all of the other ministers that they feel that same way. Yet the word of the Lord has a teaching, instructions that we all should be obedient to.
Yes, that's right.
And I want to say, not just you, but ministers as well. I don't see any place that the ministers are exempt from giving also. So let me just say that. But I want to say that the church of God, oh, this part is hard to say. I believe there's been a failing over the last 100 years. I believe that the church of God possibly could have been more prosperous in reaching souls if we had ministers that were absolutely supported and would not have to go out in the field or out to a job. I really believe that the Lord could have blessed the church of God abundantly more had the people realized that supporting them was part of his teaching. And Nehemiah here, he has brought the people together. He told them what they were doing wrong, and this was the response. Then brought all Judah, the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil, into the treasuries. And it doesn't say it in this part, but I can give you other scriptures that they gave so much they had to tell them to stop. Can we imagine that? Oh, we're not condemning anyone. This is the word of the Lord, and I think the next generation needs to hear it. I think that we all need to be reminded. Has the Lord blessed us? I think the Lord has blessed us. But I think he wants to bless us more. I do. I'm going to prove it by the scripture.
He said not to take script or shoes. That
yes.
Stuck out to me. I thought,
script,
I was asking
money.
Robin, I said, does that mean they went with no shoes? Or were they saying no extra pair of shoes?
I would say they were saying no extra.
Because I thought they were wanting, he was commanding it. It was in Matthew 10. I was reading, and it was all that list of stuff not to take.
Yes.
And then it's wanting the people to supply the need for. And it was even saying if you go to the city and they don't bless you, they don't receive you, then to wipe
off
the
dust. Shake off the dust of your feet.
And then there was another scripture that showed that when they didn't do that to a man way back there, what happened to that city, they wouldn't receive him. I don't know if he was a prophet or not, but they wouldn't receive him. And when they didn't receive him, actually they came to the house to abuse him. and the wife. Instead of receiving that man into the city, he said, no one would receive me, and he was going to stay on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, in my studies, it I think it's telling me or the whole church, you know, how important it was then.
Yes, so. Amen. Well, let's go to Malachi, the third chapter. This is a familiar scripture, I know, to us all. The third chapter and verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then the answer is given, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. What does that mean? What is meat? It's not a roast, is it, or chicken? It's talking about the word of the Lord. What Nehemiah was saying, something's wrong here. You've withheld the offerings, and it caused those that were to minister in the word of God had to go back to the field and earn their living. That's what that was all about. And that's what he's saying here. You're robbing God when we don't carry out this, that we have meat in our services. The word of God. Now, I'm saying also, I know how the Lord has blessed his word. Not complaining at all that the Lord has not sent his word to the church of God and to the people of God. I believe that he has sent his word to the whole world, but it could have been better. I think it could have been better had we had those workers that were full-time gospel workers. I could name out things that could happen if our men folk, our ministers, didn't have to work. Things that could be accomplished, they would be available. I know it's the plan of God. Now this, I'm just giving you some of the doctrine. I'm not saying for you to go home and start tithing. But I do think we need to go home and say, Lord, what do you want me to give? Tithing is sectarian in that I'm not even quite sure how they would command a tithe. I know Paul has been raised in another church. I don't know if he could tell us anything, how they tithe. I've never received a bill. I've never, and I don't know if they some way promote it in a way that they know if you're tithing or not. I don't know all of that. I don't believe that is proper at all. I don't believe that I need to know how much your income is. That's none of my business. That's only between you and God. He's able to work with you and me to know how much in his sight is acceptable for you to give. And we've got more scripture concerning that too. Okay, let's go on now. Exodus 36 and 5. If somebody gets it a little quicker than I do, if you start reading, it might help us a little bit.
And they spake unto Moses, saying,
oh, this is the one I wanted.
bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make.
I like this one. And they spake to Moses, and what did they say? The people bring much more than enough for the service of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? But what do we do if we have an abundance? Go find a project and spend it all? Now, I believe the Lord wants us to be good stewards of our money, not only in our own homes, but he wants us to be good stewards in the church. With whatever money comes in, we don't have to go out and get a project and spend it all. Reserve it. There could be something come up that is, and we found it over in the New Testament where they collected the money. We may read that scripture. They collected it for other brethren in another place to relieve their burden. So getting more than enough. Oh, I just had to have this scripture read here. It's just a beautiful picture to me. The people bring more than enough for the services of the work. I don't think I have this scripture, but there is another place that they just simply said, stop bringing. You've brought so much. Oh, wouldn't the Lord be blessed if Sister Vicki stood up and said, listen, we can't handle any more money in the bank. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? That's the next verse. Did I miss the next verse? And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came. Which one? Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading four. And Moses gave command, and they caused it to proclaim throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from giving. And the stuff they had was sufficient for all of the work to make it, and too much. Isn't that wonderful? I believe the Lord just wants us to see. This isn't all of it. This isn't all of it. Let's go now to some First Chronicles again, 29 and 3. Oh, there's a lot in the Old Testament that we are talking about, but we're going to go over into the New Testament. And it says, he in the first year of his reign. Oh, I'm in 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry. Moreover, because I said, set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of God, of my God, over and above that I have prepared for the holy house. What I see in this particular verse is when we purpose to give an amount here. Did you know that if you don't get your vision set on who you're giving it to, that you won't give? If we give to individuals and have them the purpose and the reason, you have to look beyond that. Sometimes people that give, say to a minister, and then maybe they see them go do something and judge them that they have been wasteful. When we give, we turn it loose. When we give, we do it as unto the Lord. You no longer have any say as to how that money should be spent. We should allow that to be their support. Does that make sense? They're accountable to God. You've got to have a vision of your giving is unto the Lord.
Yes, that's right.
And not unto man. And that's scripture. So, the word of the God is plain, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's not to condemn. It's just to make us aware, to remember. We want the church, we want the work of God to prosper. We want the church to be in health. This is one of the ways. Okay. 2 Chronicles now, 24 and 10. And it says, and all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they made an end. You know, this is one little point. There are some people that believe it's not right to have an offering box on the altar. Whether it's right or wrong, whether you do it at the back or you do it at the front, they had a chest. And this isn't the only place. The children of Israel had offering boxes or chest, and the people went and put it in there, even in the New Testament. So that's just a little side thought right there. But they brought it until there was no longer a need. That's what this is meaning, until they made an end. And then I'm going to repeat the scripture that I said a little while ago. He that honoreth me, I will honor. Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Yes.
That's Proverbs 3 and 9. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's a Proverbs scripture. So the commandment is there that we honor the Lord with our substance. Now, we're going to... This is the balance of it all. And it's still in the Old Testament. I'm telling you, God is a balanced God.
Yes.
He is a just God. He is a fair God. He is the beginning of the doctrine of giving. He's not going to require more than you can bear. And that goes across your life. He's not, you know, there could be people that gets under a crush or an accusation hearing a message like this, and they'll think in their mind, oh, the Lord wants me to go write a $1,000 check to whatever. And they don't have it. So let's hear the balance of it now. Now this is Deuteronomy also. Deuteronomy 16 and 17. And it says, everyone shall give as he is able. Now, the Lord knows if we're able or not.
Yes, he does.
He does. But we should know also. We should understand if we're able or not. According, now listen. It says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. It goes back, doesn't it? It says, who helped you get wealth? Did you get it by your own hand? No, God gave it. And so now he's saying, as you are able to give, as God has given to you. 2 Corinthians now. Oh, Lord, help us. I sure would like to finish this today. The 8th chapter, verse 12, and it says, if there be first a willing mind,
yes,
it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that that he hath not. Now, this is the balance. This is the other side of the coin. God knows. He blesses us. If you have a willing mind, Lord, you might go before the Lord and say, Lord, oh, someone was just telling me this the other day. Anyway, this person said they're trying to teach their little child to come up and put their offering in. Just little child. And their financial situation is in a great strain. And this person began to purpose before the Lord, whatever you allow to come that's not has to go for bills, I'm going to give it as an off, give some as an offering to teach my child. Did you know it's so important to teach your child, your children, to give and why they're giving? And this person said that since they made that consecration, that there has been unexpected, not big amounts, unexpected money come in every week. What do you think about that? Has God honored her purpose of wanting to teach her little child? She said it has been amazing. One time she even had jury duty. She got a little extra, you know. So the Lord is going to honor what we honor him with. Oh, the blessing of the Lord makes rich.
Yes, amen.
Maybe not in the bank, but it makes us rich.
Yes.
Okay. We've got to have a willing mind, though. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. And if you get there, you can start reading it. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So see, it all still goes back to God. Who helped you to get wealth? Who gave you the strength to go to work? Who wasn't you? It was the Lord.
Yes.
So it says, lay aside purpose and give it to the Lord as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. This is Paul. And he was saying, I don't want you to take up an offering for me, but you all have it ready. Whatever you want to give. So these are New Testament scriptures. Yes.
Be sent to Jerusalem for other needs.
Yes, that one was, but there's another scripture where they also had a gathering to help the brethren. Now, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Now, these are some, just some teaching scriptures now as we're inserting them in the end of this little thought. 9 and 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And then it says, not grudgingly. Don't resent it. Don't say, well, if I give that, I won't be able to buy this or that. That's grudgingly. Or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. He loves it when we're so happy to be able to give something. What I was going to start to say a while ago when I got sidetracked on the one that wanted to teach her little child is that that God, when we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, I want you to increase the money. Is that wrong? If it's for the right purpose? If you say, Lord, I would love to give to brother so-and-so. Or I would love to give whatever. If he's bringing it in and you're wanting to give it out, oh, the blessing is so rich. Nobody, and what does the scripture say? We're not to do our alms before men. One scripture says, don't let the right hand know what the left hand... And you know, I was sort of ignorant about that years ago. I thought it really meant that. I thought you just reach in your pocket and you get out and don't even look. That's ignorance, you know. God has given us a bright mind to make a judgment call on these things, and to do it that way is just... What it means is... Don't broadcast it. Don't tell people I want to thank the Lord for something right here, that Sister Vicki is so trustworthy that you, if you want to send some money to somebody, she'll never tell it. That's between you and the Lord. The scripture says you'll be rewarded openly. Those things that are done in secret. And then we're rewarded openly. Oh, thank the Lord. Isn't this a wonderful teaching? We've got to get a vision of it. And we've got to love it and desire it. Now remember, don't go home and get under a crush. Don't get under accusations. Don't get under a guilt. Because God's only requiring as much as what He's blessing you with. He said, as you're able, do it. Okay, right down close to the end of our thought that today, Acts 11 and 29, if somebody gets there, please read it for us. Acts 11 and 29, and it says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So there's another one. And they sent it with Saul. Okay. Now the test of our example, which is Christ. Let's go to Luke, the 21st chapter. This one always touches me when I hear this passage. This is the widow woman that was very poor. And what did she give? She gave just a little tiny money. But it's, the scripture says here, and Jesus is the one that was looking on, and he saw those that were wealthy and well able to give of their abundance. And then he saw this poor widow woman that gave a very tiny piece of money. Maybe in our money it would be 5 cents. I don't know. I didn't study that out. But it was of her living. It was what she really needed. But she had this love for the work of God and for God Himself. And she was probably even ashamed, comparing it to everybody else that was giving. And she may have just walked up and just dropped it in and walked away. But Jesus noticed it. Jesus notices what you and I give to the work of God, to support, to cause the work to be prosperous. That's our purpose. Cause the work of God to go forth in the earth, not to make some preacher rich. And I don't know of any rich ones among us. But in the world, they have these philosophies, and there's rich preachers out there. And they're telling the people, you give, and is that scriptural? It is. I don't want to shock you too much, but it is scriptural, and I'm going to read it. Luke 6 and 38. Give, and it shall be given you. And listen how it's going to be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But I want to tell you, if you give with that in mind and that purpose, you won't get it. But that's the blessing that the Lord has for His people who are giving from the heart. He said in one place, He said, my son, give me your heart. If we have a heart that is pure and holy and righteous with pure motives, and we're not giving because I'll get it back. It's the wrong reason, but I'll tell you, the Lord will, He will bless. And it'll be shaken down in good measure and pressed down and running over. May not be in money. It may be in your spirit.
It'll be in what you need.
It'll be in what you need. Oh, saints, I believe the Lord wants us to consider the doctrine of giving. Remember, He gave first. That's the first doctrine of giving. But it comes down to us. Can a man outgive God? No, can't outgive God. But I don't want to. I don't want our young people to think that I'm just really eyeballing them. But I have appreciated seeing young people come up and put offerings in. I appreciate that. Because I think that that's the next generation that's going to carry on the Church of God. Lord, help us all. I trust that the Lord will bless you and that this may have lasted a little bit longer than what we intended. Wish I could say it in fewer words. Pray for me.